T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is AJ and Dusty.
All right, listen up. I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
With AJ McCord.
That beer's getting better, I'll admit that. But you're still weak on the left side.
And Dusty Hera.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard-spotted underwear, bikini style, sir.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
What kind of power?
And Dusty. Oh, good. You're here. Gosh, that was a moment of panic. Clearly, I'm not ready for such a thing.
Well, then turn our mics.
That was very scary.
No, they're on now. There was an issue yesterday with people's mics not working, and I thought that was the case.
Classic
technology.
Good
afternoon. There we go. Now we're back. We're here. Hey.
Woo. All right. Well, it's only up from here. What up?
Oh, that's funny. I could bring this thing way into the side of the mountain right away if you would like.
No.
How's everybody doing?
What if we stayed on the rails for an entire show? Nope. I have a question, and I'm sure this is going to take it off. So, okay. I need some help.
Okay.
Because we have a deck in our backyard. Ooh. And this is been a cause for concern for some days now. The deck is not tall. Right? Like, it's just like a 2x4 on top. This isn't like you don't go under this deck. However, a few days ago,
Stephen A. Smith,
something did go under this deck.
What did?
I don't know, but we found like a hole in the side of the deck. Like, something had burrowed beneath the ground right under the little 2x4.
Now, how long have you been in this home?
Like 6 months. No, wait, 8 months. Something.
Eight months.
Yeah.
Okay.
This has never happened before. So Scarlett will like sprint outside and just go like she's tracking something underneath the deck, putting her little nose on the ground. And we're like, what is going on? So we had our bird seed just sitting there, and every day it would be torn open. And so finally yesterday I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn what is underneath the deck. So I put the bird seed in front of where you can see it on our security system.
Yes.
Right. So I was like, oh, I'm going to figure out what is eating this bird seed and what is living under the deck.
Okay.
So today I wake up and there's two alerts. It's like motion detected on backyard camera. And I see not one, but two different cats coming out of the, like, where the hole would be in the deck to the bird seed. What do I do? I don't like, I'm not trying to run a
Kill
cat
them.
Orphan. Okay.
What?
I'm not going to... I'd rather not kill the cats.
It's a good answer.
No, I'd rather not kill them.
It's a good answer.
You know...
It's a good answer.
Our boss today gave me a very tasty bit of psychology about people that hate cats.
Okay.
Which I found very interesting.
I bet you did.
He had said, you know, people that exclusively just love dogs and hate cats...
Yep.
Must have a weird complex of needing people's undying attention and adulation because they feel uncomfortable when something or somebody doesn't like them.
Okay, well,
I'm just going to leave that there and, you know.
That doesn't help with my problem.
No, cats are just a-holes.
Doesn't help with my problem.
They just scratch.
So dogs aren't a-holes?
No, there are a lot of dogs that are a-holes. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's true.
Well, but I can't. So I can't kill the cats, you guys. Like, I cannot kill the cats, but I'd rather them not be living under my deck.
So why don't you coax them out and then call animal
control? How does one
coax
a cat? We just had a whole conversation about how they don't need humans.
Get some tuna.
Oh.
Yeah. Get some tuna.
Lay a trap.
Yeah, you just open a little tuna can. Uh-huh. Hold it near there.
Yeah.
Cat, it'll take a little bit.
No.
Then you'll stick or
so
he
I have
or
to
she.
Sit outside in the backyard and just like
be
watch.
Be there for a little bit and then he or she'll stick their nose out a little bit and bit by bit and they'll walk out.
And then how do I
and
make sure they don't do it
them?
Again?
Well, make sure animal control's there, and then the animal control get them, scoop them up. See
yeah,
you
I
later.
Think
you,
I think the answer here is just call animal control. They're not your cats. I asked how long you'd been there for. Do you know where the original owners moved? Could they be their cats?
I don't think they were their cats because this is like a new hole in the ground. It's not like there's been this hole in the ground, and I'm just noticing it. So I think these are new residents of the under the deck property.
Hmm. Yeah, this is a tough one. Do they look like they've been maintained at all? Or are they just
they
feral
do.
Cats?
No, they look. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's a grainy black and white video because it's a night. But they don't look mangy. Like, they don't look like they haven't been taken care of. That's the concerning part is what if somebody has outdoor cats and they're just making their residence, making themselves at home in my home. And it's not that I'm not at the point where I'm trying to kill cats, Will. I would just rather not run an orphanage for cats that I don't want to.
I did not support the killing the cats.
No, though. I know, but I'm letting you know I'm not that far.
Oh, I see.
I'm letting you know there's like levels of my distaste for cats where I'm not trying to kill them. That was Dusty's first reaction.
Oh, I know. Dusty has a weird thing with cats.
No, I just don't like them. That's right. Fair. I don't think it's a weird thing. I just don't like cats.
And there's some people you don't like also, so you'd kill them if they were probably, right? Same logic?
No.
Well, I'm thinking.
Dusty.
Let me see. Oh. I mean, no. Well, I never would.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, no.
Hey, I'm just using
gosh.
Your logic
sometimes,
against you.
Remember what we talked about yesterday? Sometimes not answering a question is as good as answering a question. You need to be better.
I was thinking about it.
I know, but you
I
can't
think
about that.
All right, okay.
You
all
can't
yeah,
think
yeah.
about
right.
that.
Yeah.
Just call We're, animal control.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They'll get out there.
Seriously, that's the answer. That's the ticket.
Well, I like
or get a kid in the neighborhood who wants a cat and say you trap it, you keep it. It's like one of those trout farms, rainbow trout farms. You've stocked your deck full of cats. Now kids can just come down and pick out your cat. It's like the claw machine at the pizza place. Just throw in a line, and if you get a cat, you reel them in, and they can take it home with them.
There you go. I like this idea of taking a few deck boards off and then, like, getting them out that way.
Mm.
That's a decent idea.
But then you're taking your deck apart.
Well, but they're just 2x4s. You just unscrew them and then screw them back in.
Right? I mean, yeah, one would think.
It's always that easy when you DIY,
yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly.
It's always that easy. Uh-huh, yeah. It's always as simple as just take the screw up, put it back in.
When you were putting up those shower doors,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
just,
I
you're
knew
just
you're
putting
gonna
the door
bring,
on the
I
shower,
I knew you were
right?
going to bring that up.
You're
not
just putting
sweet.
The door on the shower. That's
all
you got to
so
do.
It's so different. It's two huge pieces of glass that could shatter.
Yeah, just
very
two big
different.
Boards that could break. And
now,
well, then it's another 2x4.
How many different
Honestly.
Cats did you see under there?
Two.
It's just
no.
two?
Well, I didn't see them under there. I saw them on our camera
okay.
around the bird seed.
How many times has this happened?
I would say it's happened for about a week, but last night was the first night that I got smart enough to move the bird seed to where the camera could see it.
Now, here's an interesting thing you might want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Get your ear close to that deck because I'm not a gambling man, but you might have some kittens under there. If they've been there for more than a week, you might have some two cats that posted up, have a litter, and are just like, this is where we're living now.
Oh no.
It's a theory, and I might be way off on that, but it's possible.
Okay.
Question coming in on the fan text line 503-250-1080. If I call cats a-holes, I wonder what Dusty calls a goose. Flying a-holes. Answer to that question. Because they are the a-holes of the air. I do call them that.
They are mean-spirited.
Boy, Canadian geese. Are
They're
you
not
kidding
great.
Me?
They're not great.
Now, this is another one. We have a lot of folks saying on the fan text line, Cats don't eat birdseed. I have, of course, I Googled this. Cats will snack on sunflower seeds.
That's
so
what they are.
If you have sunflower seeds that are in commonly in birdseed, they will eat on that.
That's what they're that's what the bird feed is.
So you can just call us the Mythbusters as well. We're debunking myths. You know, do not use we're not saying some of the methods of trapping them.
I know. See, I'm not trying, like, I will.
I mean, there's a lot of people that are thinking like me on this text line.
Yeah.
Which is kind of scary.
It's terrifying, actually. But I think the answer is to take them to a no-kill shelter if I can get them out from under the deck.
Yeah.
But I am slightly concerned about this kitten idea, which leads me to believe maybe I should take off the deck board a few of them.
Do it.
Right? And then, like, see what I'm working with under there.
Next thing you know, you're building a new deck.
It's not a difficult, like, there's no stilts. There's no, it's just 2x4s.
Just put your ear.
Stop. Stop. I can do this.
When you get
home. I can do this.
Or at some point this weekend, just put your ear to the deck. Just listen. Yeah.
You
might
video?
Be hearing some little.
I have. I
can
do
I
know.
See the video?
Yeah, you may see the video.
Can I see?
Would you like to see a video or screen grabs of the video? Because I have screen grabs of like, aha.
Yeah, like.
It's a cat.
I mean, there's no doubt. We're talking no doubt these are cats. Oh, that's a chupacabra you got there.
Stop. It's not a chupacabra.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a chupacabra. Yeah, I'm looking at that right
now. Go to the right one. Mm-hmm. There's another picture. That's a different cat.
What?
I have two cats.
There's two of them.
I know.
Yeah, those are definitely cats. We're going with they are definitely 100% cats. Now,
I mean, thank you, but I didn't need your confirmation. I know they're cats.
They're big.
I know.
What I wanted to see is size of the cat.
It's like almost the size of Scarlet.
Yeah, you've got two very large cats
I
under
know.
Your deck.
I know.
And I wanted to see your deck set up.
See? 2x4s.
Yeah, it'll be easy to get those bad boys up.
I think so.
Yeah, and you'll probably only need to take one of those out.
Yeah.
They're pretty wide. Yeah.
They are. So I could even like maybe take one out close to the house and then one out further so I can, you know, get a flashlight under there.
I mean, there's a very easy solution that was thrown out early. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
I'm not going to kill cats, Dusty.
Good. Good. Another good answer. I'm testing you.
See how I didn't hesitate there?
Yeah.
See how I didn't stutter? I don't know. No, I do know how to answer that question. I'm not going to kill a cat.
All right.
Some customs from people that pass things down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll
the past,
adjust.
It was passed down to me. And
if you want to talk to me about it later, we can adjust.
Look, the roster of cats living under your deck is not the issue.
Yeah. How many times do we have to say that?
I know. Well, it's my issue.
Oh, you're going to split up that pair of cats?
No, I would just like them to go be a pair somewhere else. And then.
Oh, so you want to trade both of the cats out of your
yes,
backyard.
I would like no cats.
Wow.
I'm not a cat person. I'm not going to kill cats. I'm just not a cat person.
Okay. All right. We've got a lot of good recommendations coming up here on the fan text line. Keep them coming at 503-250-1080. You do have two cats. They're rather large, very large cats.
I know.
Living under your deck makes me feel uneasy about it.
You're telling me they're under my deck.
Maybe some firecrackers could.
Oh my gosh,
lure
them out. What could go wrong putting firecrackers next to wood underneath a house?
It's a good point. Noted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Dusty
so there
does
goes
not
my
get
idea.
Fireworks on 4th of July.
There goes
so
my idea of smoking them out of there.
Nope.
Okay,
I will attempt. I think
well.
I will attempt the deck removal situation, and I will report back.
I think calling animal control is the safer one here.
But is that as fun?
Then yeah.
But then what do I do? Do you have a say? Like once you call animal control, can you say take them to a no-kill shelter?
I mean, you have a say. I don't know if they'll do it.
Right. So
they might just go, okay.
That's also the concern is like, I don't want animal control to come up and then these cats die.
Circle back to my idea of neighborhood cat fishing where the kids can come over and throw their line out.
Free cats.
You catch a cat, you take it home.
Oh, geez.
It's a great deal you got going on there. Free cats. People are paying good money for those. All right. Coming up on today's radio program, Sam Amick, the Athletic NBA writer, he says Mike D'Antoni is interested in the Blazers job. No way.
Wow.
We'll talk with Amick about the attractiveness of the Portland Trail Blazers head coaching vacancy, some of the candidates that are out there. And I shall throw one out to you. And you, everybody out there, that why aren't we hearing this name a little bit more?
Ooh, all yes, right.
That after Sam Amick, who is at 1, we'll discuss the Blazers vacancy at 1:15. Today, we'll have John Wilner coming up at 12:30, San Jose Mercury News. He did the decoding of what Larry Scott's final interview as Pac-12, or one of his final interviews as Pac-12 commissioner meant. Where he just basically put the blame on everybody else and what George Klafkoff is going to bring to the table.
Yes, that'll be exciting.
But where we got to start, the Power Five might not even be a thing anymore in college foosball. Next on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The College Football Playoff Management Committee will be considering expanding the playoff to a 12-team format when they meet next week in Chicago. We talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the week. What was that, Tuesday?
Sure. What's today? Thursday?
Yeah.
We'll go with Tuesday.
Okay. When Pete Thamel wrote an article saying the momentum is gaining for 12 teams, and when they do meet over the summer, which I believe they're meeting twice in Chicago and then one other time in another location, which I don't know, but they're going to be meeting, and this is one of the things they're going to be discussing, growing from 4 to 12. And we talked about how the growth from 4 to 12 is due to they don't want to have to come back to this. They just want to say, this is what we have. We want to play with it.
Right.
And move forward with it and say, we're done. If anything else, they'll move back and do fewer teams. But we didn't know quite the details of it. And this is interesting because I think it takes a little bit of the power out of the Power Five. And again, this is a huge bump to the Group of Five.
Mm-hmm.
Conferences, because the College Football Playoff will, in this 12-team proposal, they're going to recommend 6 conference champions get automatic bids and 6 at-large bids. So it is not everybody in, like if you were looking at what the 8-team proposal was, Power 5 all get in and then 3 at-large bids. No. This is all conference champs, the 6 highest ranked conference champs, you get in no matter what.
Yep. And then it would be the 6 highest ranked other teams. So yes. I like this I like this quite a bit. I went back and looked at 2020 and 2019. And 2020 was weird, right? Because the six auto bids, or not auto bids, the six conference champions that would have gone would have been Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Cincinnati, and Coastal Carolina.
Yes.
Based on the final rankings.
No Pac-12 in there.
No Pac-12, because Oregon, I believe, was the team that finished the highest, and they were 25th.
Yes, because they won the conference championship game over USC. Right. And again, like, everybody's pointing to this as, oh, look, the Pac-12 wouldn't have been in. Every other year, they would have been in.
Right, they only played six games.
And remember, Washington had a COVID outbreak, mm-hmm. and so they couldn't even play in the conference championship game.
Right, that's the only reason Oregon was there.
So, yeah, and so you're looking at this like it was a completely different year where they played far fewer games than everybody else, and it was just different. It was COVID impacted this year. Hopefully, moving forward, COVID isn't an issue, because every other year, Pac-12 has at least one team in.
Exactly. So 2019, I think, is a much better representation of what we would see in this new format. So in 2019, you would have had LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, Oregon, Oklahoma, and Memphis as the highest ranked conference champions. And then the remaining highest ranked teams would have been Georgia, Florida, Bama, Penn State, Minnesota, and Notre Dame.
Oh, hey, hey, hey.
So you still have, you know, the same four teams that have been in the college football playoff for all eternity in Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama. It just looks a little differently. And what I really like about this 12-team format is how they're proposing doing it as far as the actual execution of the playoff calendar. But the first round games in this recommendation take place on campus sometime during the 2-week period after the conference championships games. So that's what we talked about on Tuesday, was it's in that little window before the, like, bowl games that are before Christmas that are kind of meh. Those ones, it's in that period that the first round of games. Quarterfinals would be played on January 1st or January 2nd when New Year's Day falls on a Sunday on adjacent day. So that's when you start talking about potentially those New Year's Six being brought into play. Semifinals and championship game dates, TBD. Semifinals, though, likely not to be played as a double header. So I like that this brings some money onto campuses. I think that's a really good opportunity. And again, we talked about how far out are we talking about the Oregon-Ohio State game in a decade. But people are excited. I know a lot of Ducks fans who are probably going to make the trip, if it's safe enough to do so, in Columbus, for Columbus this year.
Yeah.
And so it's fun to go to an away game, I think. And if it's a championship game, or a playoff game, I should say, that's even more exciting. So I like that this brings more money, more awareness to campuses, especially if you're talking about, I don't know, let's say in 2019, you're talking about a campus like a Memphis.
Yeah.
Like, it puts a spotlight on programs that don't always get the spotlight. And at the end of the day, right, we were talking about this too, Will, the goal of expanding the playoffs is to have more parity around college sports a little bit, right? Like, you want to see more than just the same four teams who are in it every single year. You want to at least have the possibility for chaos. Well,
and here's the thing.
It's about money.
Well,
it is,
right.
It is a lot about money.
It is about money, but also it expands the purse. It makes the purse bigger, and it can expand that for programs that don't normally get highlighted on a national stage.
Well, I hear you.
I've gone back and looked at what likely would have happened had this been in place since the inception of the college football playoff. And in 2014, Oregon and Arizona both would have been in. 2016, UW and USC would have both been in. 2017, SC and UW would have been in. And then 2019, Oregon and Utah both would have been in.
Okay.
So that would have been, instead of the Pac-12 only getting into the playoff twice, there would have been four seasons where the Pac-12 gets at least two teams in.
That's great.
And so this also goes to say that, look at how different is Arizona's program right now. If instead of being ranked 10th, that's a college football playoff berth at the end of the year.
Exactly.
And find it both financially and stability of that program. Mm-hmm. It could go a long way for the Pac-12. It could also kill the Pac-12 like it would have this year, where the Sun Belt and the American Athletic Conference both get in over the Pac-12 conference.
because the six remaining highest ranked teams last year would have been Notre Dame, A&M, Florida, Georgia, Iowa State, Indiana, and UNC.
But again, it was a weird year, right?
And hopefully one that will never be repeated.
Now, what does this mean for the Pac-12 conference? And what about Larry Scott's parting shots that he gave to the conference on the way out? Let's talk with the man who's more dialed in than anybody else on the Pac-12 business. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, joins us. First is Will with SportsCenter.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, we're waiting on John Wilner. He's on a deadline because this Power 5... or the College Football Playoff Committee kind of saying, you know what, Power 5, you're not as important as you think you are. We're going to take the top six conference champions, no guarantees for any conference to get in. And that's going to be the recommendation that the College Football Playoff Committee looks as they look to expand for a 12-team playoff. I went back and I looked it up. So the Pac-12 has only had two teams ever, 2016, Washington, and then obviously Oregon in the inaugural where they played for a national championship. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two teams ever to qualify for the Pac-12. If you go back under this format, the Pac-12 is getting crushed because they'll be like, oh, 2020 wouldn't even had anybody.
Right.
Short year, whatever. In 2014... they would have had two teams. 17 and 19 each had two teams. I went back and I missed this. 2016, they would have had three teams qualify for the College Football Playoff.
Wow.
It would have been Washington, USC, and Colorado. Three teams were in the top 10 for the Pac-12 that year.
Hmm. So I think this is the format, because the problem with the four team, right, is that we've seen the same four teams, essentially. Like, we've had one wild card every year. But other than that, it's almost always Bama, Clemson, Ohio State. So I like that this expands the group of teams that you get a chance to watch on a national stage. Because like I said, in 2019, Memphis is one of them. How many Memphis games have you watched? Like, do you watch in an average college football season if you're not actively rooting for the team? So this brings a spotlight to programs that deserve it. When you win your conference, you deserve some element of spotlight. And I think that that is one of the cooler aspects of this expanded playoff.
Well, on the phone now to talk about that, plus the parting comments from Larry Scott, the outgoing commissioner of the Pac-12, is a guy who covers the conference better than anybody else. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, kind enough to join us. Thank you so much. I know with this news that we've been talking about to start the show with the College Football Playoff recommending a 12-team playoff, you've got a lot on your plate, so we appreciate the time. What does this mean in your mind for the Pac-12 conference, John?
I mean, it's a game changer, right? The playoff is what defines college football success these days. And if you're not part of the party, it hurts you on a whole bunch of fronts, financially, reputation, fan interest, and recruiting. The new proposal would, give Pac-12, wouldn't guarantee the Pac-12 gets access, but it would, all but guarantee it, right? So that would kind of dispel the bad optics that have been kind of nagging at the conference for many years.
You mentioned the bad optics. That seems like something Pac-12 fans should celebrate with this news, is just that it does expand the scope of that national college football playoff spotlight to not just include the same three or four teams that we've seen in the last few years, but to expand that to 12 teams. That means, the Pac-12 can potentially get multiple teams in.
Yeah, absolutely. Given the way the conference has performed, it's got to worry about getting one in. But no, you're right. There could be years. And if you use the last, 7 years of the playoff kind of then plugged it into a model of under the new system, there would have been years where the Pac-12 would have sent more than one team to a 12-team event. So, yeah, I mean, it's gigantic. You know, there's almost no way the Pac-12 wouldn't be involved. And if it got to that point, then everybody would agree the Pac-12 didn't even deserve to be involved. If you've got your champion ranked behind two teams in the group of five, then you really, you know, you don't really have much of a case. So if a Pac-12 season unfolded as it normally does, yeah, at least one team would be going to this event.
Does this mean that when George Kliavkov had his initial press conference and he said that expanding the playoff was one of his main priorities, are we already checking that one off for George Kliavkov, or did he see the writing on the wall with this one?
I mean, there's the subcommittee that made this proposal has been working on it for 2 years.
Yep.
So everybody has kind of figured for the last few months, you know, since we kind of got out of the pandemic and all that kind of thing, and the football season ended, everybody's been figuring it was going to expand. It was just a matter of whether they went to eight or 12 teams, really. And the fact that they're going to 12 is real interesting, because for the last, you know, 4 years, college football has moved its postseason only on an incremental basis. But this time it is taking a giant leap forward and going past an 18 model and straight to 12.
And I, one of the aspects of this format that I really like, and I would love to get your insight on how big of an impact this can have for a particular university, is the idea of playing the first round on a campus. How big of a deal is that to have a campus that maybe doesn't get your big, you know, Fox noon kickoff or ABC primetime game or these marquee matchups in the regular season? How big of a deal is that for a program and a university to be able to showcase their university on a national stage in the, you know, encompassing of the college football playoff?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be huge. You know, if you're going to list the winners for this thing, Pac-12 is probably at the top, but the group of five is in there too. I mean, you know, it's possible that the Mountain West Conference could have a team. You know, Boise State could potentially host a playoff game, right?
Yeah.
It with the teams that are ranked or seeded, I guess I should say, seeded 5, 6, 7, 8 would be the only four that would host. But that is a whole new dynamic for college football, is a postseason where you've got a home team. I mean, it's basically, the format is like the Pac-12 basketball tournament, except those opening round games are played on a home field. Yeah.
That's awesome. John Wilner is our guest. San Jose Mercury News covers the Pac-12 better than anybody else. You know, one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on when we gave you a buzz yesterday was because of Larry Scott's parting comments. He did an interview with the AP about his tenure as Pac-12 commissioner. And you had a piece up where I think you hit the nail on the head, kind of the deflecting of responsibility and accountability for the shortcomings of the Pac-12 conference. Larry Scott placing, I guess, for lack of a better term, placing the blame on the schools and member institutions themselves. How fair is that to take that shot at the schools themselves and not the conference offices, as he put it?
Well, so there's two aspects to this, really. One is the substance of what he said, and the other is, you know, just whether he should have said it or not.
Right.
I mean, and the second thing is he should never say that. You just don't do that. You're grateful for your time and you don't put the blame on the school. So you just don't say that kind of thing unless you're Larry Scott. The substance is there's a little bit more nuance to the substance. He's right in that the schools have a lot of responsibility in terms of what the football product's like, right? I mean, the coaches, hiring the coaches, recruiting the players, coaching players, the conference office isn't doing any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, absolutely. USC and Oregon and Washington and Stanford not making the playoff very much. That's on the schools more than it's on the conference office, but that doesn't absolve Larry Scott and his policies completely for the Pac-12 football performance, because what they do in San Francisco does have an impact, right? I mean, it's like I compared it. It's just like a living body, right? College football is like a living body, and you've got to have all the organs functioning together if you're going to succeed. And the conference office is a key organ in this, in the body of college football in the Pac-12, right? If they're making bad decisions, if they're setting teams up to fail with the schedule, if the media, if the Pac-12 network can't be seen in the homes of recruits, if the money isn't there to build facilities, those things impact football, and the conference office is responsible for that stuff. So he is absolutely wrong to say it's all on the, it's all on the schools.
Now, there is something in there where he said, asked about the failures. He said he didn't anticipate the amount of change in leadership, presidents, chancellors, and athletic directors. When I read that, I got the feeling that what we said the whole time, which was this guy from Tennis didn't understand college sports. Looking back now at Larry Scott's tenure, is that fair to say, like, university presidents, chancellors, and ADs, even before he got into that role, they changed hands very, very often, and he just didn't have the foresight to see that that would be something that happens as commissioner?
Yeah, I kind of think that he's just grasping for excuses now. You know, I can't imagine that he thought that that he was going to have the same presidents and ADs at 12 schools for 12 years, right? He's just looking for excuses. And the group that hired him, you know, had a certain goals and priorities that they wanted him to execute. And to some extent he did. But, you know, the last 4 or 5 years, it's been clear he's not the right person to lead this group. And for him to say, well, you know, the new way these ADs have been hired lately, they, you know, they're too concerned with the short-term budget issues. That's really what he's saying, is they're too concerned with short-term budget issues, and they're refusing to take the long view and just sit back and wait for my brilliant strategy to unfold in 3 more years. I mean, that's just unrealistic.
And before we let you go, we know you're up against it. George Kliavkov comes in as commissioner. Is this a guy in your mind who gets it, what it takes to kind of run the conference in the West Coast with all of the struggles that perception wise the conference has?
We'll see. I mean, I don't know for sure. You know, he hasn't done it right. I have heard some good things about him, and I think that, and from a management style, he's going to be much more collaborative with the schools, and that's going to help. And I think he's going to be able to get everybody kind of on the same boat rowing together, which is going to help. But we don't know for sure. You know, I mean, we'll have to see. We'll have to give him a few years, right? And I'll tell you what, one of his big obstacles just got plowed out of the way, though, because the expanded playoff, you know, is going to solve a lot of issues for the conference.
John Wilner, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for being so gracious with it.
Thanks a lot.
All right, John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News. This is huge for the Pac-12 conference. We want to talk about Larry Scott and just kind of, you know, have the pinata time with Larry Scott after the comments yesterday, which we talked about. But I don't think it can be overstated how big this recommendation is for the Pac-12.
Exactly. I think it's almost like entertaining to talk about Larry Scott on his way out. Sure. But there's, like John said, there's the substance aspect of what he said, and then there's the question of whether you should say it or not. The substance of what Larry Scott means to this conference anymore, next to nothing. All that I have to worry about is what comes next.
As I'm looking more and more to what this means for the Pac-12 conference and expanded playoff, there is one number that sticks out more than anything, and it is the number 6. I'll tell you what it means next on The Fan. All right, we just had a convo with John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, covers the Pac-12 better than anybody else. How big this is for the Pac-12, it can't be overstated. The College Football Playoff Committee is looking over a recommendation, or they will be looking over a recommendation when they meet in Chicago next week for an expanded playoff. 12 teams, 6 conference champs, 6 at-large bids, all getting in. The top 4 conference champions get a first-round bye. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, because Notre Dame is not in a conference. BYU is not in a conference. If they are ranked in the top 4, by that wording, they wouldn't get a bye because they don't play in a conference.
Yep.
So that's an interesting one that is probably going to be fought over by Jack Swarbrick, their AD, who is on the College Football Playoff Committee. But this is great because you'd have 5 through 12 are going to be playing on campus sites. So mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7, 8 would host 9, 10, 11, 12 on campus sites.
I love that aspect of it.
Kick ass.
I love it.
But why it's huge for the Pac-12 is because it's a seat at the table. And I was looking at the college football playoff committee's website and perusing their final rankings that they had had for each of the seasons. And as I went through, yes, the Pac-12 in 2020, and you'll see this floating around in the internet and Twitter and all that stuff. The Pac-12 wouldn't have qualified for this past year's 12-team playoff. Context, some teams played literally twice as many games as the Pac-12.
Yes.
And there were, UW had their season halted due to COVID. They could have come out of the North. They would have been ranked far higher. USC had an opportunity. They didn't get it done. Look, there's a lot of factors there. But yes, the Pac-12 wouldn't have made it last year. Every other year of this, the Pac-12 gets at least one in.
Mm-hmm.
And in 4 years, they get at least two teams. So 2014, 17, 19, they get two. 2016, they would have gotten three teams in.
Mm-hmm.
Even more than that, when I was looking at this, you would have had six different schools qualify for the college football playoff from the Pac-12. Six different, half the conference would have qualified for the college football playoff under their former rankings for this new 12-team playoff.
And the impact that makes for the conference, for recruiting, for national brand is huge. Because I know people are wondering, okay, well, so there's been blowouts in the first round of the college football playoffs for the last few years, right? Mm-hmm. Almost all the time. What does this do except potentially move those blowouts to the second round? Here's what it does. In the last... This was a released in 2020. So this is the five-star recruits that have signed or are scheduled to sign in 2021. Here's the number of five-star recruits the top four programs have signed. Alabama has signed 44 five-star recruits.
That's pretty good.
Next, Georgia, 34.
Pretty
Ohio
good.
State, 26.
Pretty good.
Clemson, 20.
Good.
What do you notice about three of those four programs?
They're always in.
They're always in the college football playoffs. Is that because they're a very, very, very good college football program?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Would there be more five-star recruits seeing, learning, potentially choosing other really great programs like the ones further down on this list, USC, Florida State, LSU, A&M, Oregon, Oklahoma, if they got a chance to see those schools shine on a national stage?
Well, yeah, and I mean, just think of what it would have meant to Arizona's program in 2014, if they would have, because they were ranked 10th in the final rankings,
mm-hmm.
what that would have meant to them to go to the college football playoff.
Yep.
You know, what does that do to the trajectory of that program? In 2016, Colorado finished the year in the top 10 in the whole country.
Yep.
What would that have meant to that program to go to a college football playoff? That would have been huge.
Yep.
And just look at the swings that those programs have had. 2019, when Utah would have gone to the CFP in that season. Like, those are monumental shifts. It would be huge for Oregon, SC, and Washington, the traditional powers. But there's three other programs right there that could have exponentially benefited from an opportunity to have that seat at the table. And say Utah is hosting mm-hmm. at the Muss, at Rice Eccles, and the Muss is rocking, and recruits get to see that on TV.
Exactly.
That is where the seat at the table becomes huge for outside of those Power Four programs that you were talking about there.
Exactly. Because you're building a bigger table. You're giving coaches more fodder, I guess, more accolades to reference when they're yep. talking to recruits. Hey, last year we were in the college football playoff. Did you see us mm-hmm. playing right around Christmas, whatever it was? We want you to be a part of that because we're not going anywhere.
Getting a seat at the table is good. The Pac-12 needs to start winning those games though too.
They do. Yep. But the first step is a seat yep. because you can sell that to recruits.
Yep. Got to get that seat at the table, but you got to take care of your business. Let's shift gears. Portland Trailblazers, they've got a big coaching search going on right now, and Sam Amick of The Athletic is throwing out a name of a guy who's saying he's interested. Uh-oh. Next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.